The state Republican and Democratic parties held conventions this weekend, and news was made at both. After 18 years, Mark Brewer is out as leader of the Michigan Democratic Party, removing his name from consideration before the party's chairmanship could go up for a vote. Lon Johnson takes over. Meanwhile, Michigan Republican Party Chairman Bobby Shostak faced a challenge from Tea Party nominee Todd Corser. The Michigan Public Radio Network covered both conventions. Managing editor Rick Pluta is here to help us break down the story with the Democrats. And in a few minutes, we'll also talk with MPRN reporter Jake Neer about the Republicans. Good morning, Rick. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, glad to be here.
So what exactly went on at the Democratic Party convention? What led up to Lon Johnson's ascension?
Well, I mean, it's sort of interesting that you look at both parties, and even though both can claim their share of victories last November, there's really a lot of consternation over where they fell short. In the case of Republicans, it's that they weren't able to organize the state to win a presidential victory after, five successive losses. This was the sixth time that Democrats have claimed Michigan and its electoral votes for the Democrat, even though Mitt Romney was born here. On the Democratic side, there's this frustration that you can organize the state so that President Obama wins it by 9 points, more than 9 points, actually. I mean, it was almost double digits, that you can sweep the bottom of the ticket races, the races for things like MSU trustee that are really largely a measure of baseline party strength, but then in the middle, you're just kind of helpless as you watch Republicans year after year take the attorney general, take the secretary of state, that you've never been able to take the state senate from Republicans since the early 1980s, that the House remains in Republican control, the upshot being that after, in the lame duck of last year, that Michigan became or is about to become a right-to-work state. So these were the frustrations that were playing out at the Democratic convention, and it was both a proxy fight between unions, primarily the United Auto Workers, which really dominates the Democratic Party, arguing for change, and the Michigan Education Association arguing for a continuation of the current leadership and then hopefully, adjusting to meet what was going on. And so what happened was basically the UAW won that fight arguing for change, even though they're the ones who've kind of been running the show all along.
Mm. Lon Johnson joins us on the phone. Mr. Johnson, thank you for joining us today. We're going to do some looking back, but I want to begin with you by looking forward. What are your first tasks?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. Well, we've got to remake our great party. We started that Saturday, and with the help of Mark, who I wanted to say, terrific things about. He went out the way he always conducted himself, always working to bring our party together, and now we're going to set about the task of remaking our party, and that started on Saturday.
What was wrong with the way that the Michigan Democrats were running with Mark Brewer's leadership, though? Why did you think he needed to be replaced?
Well, I think it was just a recognition by all sides, by many sides of our party, that we need to really think about how we're going about the business of winning. Elections are more than just an opportunity to win. They're an obligation. When we don't win, bad things happen for Michigan. And it was a recognition that, look, enough is enough. Emergency manager, right to work, pension tax, education cuts. These are real issues that when we don't win at the state level, the voters, Michigan is impacted, and we need to start winning. And it's also a recognition that campaigns and political, the political fight is now a 365-day affair. And we've got to engage. No longer are we just going to sit and engage June through November. We need to start now, and we need to start very aggressively, because when we don't, bad things happen.
Mr. Chairman, this is Rick Pluta. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Rick.
Hi. I have a question for you. If you could just put on sort of your campaign mechanic hat, and
sure. That
we've seen, Democrats succeeding and Republicans failing in statewide elections for federal offices, but not for statewide offices. That, right now Republicans control all of the statewide offices out of Lansing, while they keep sending people to Washington, you know, usually with double digit victories. What's that dynamic? What's at play there that in statewide races, for federal offices, Democrats succeed, but in statewide races for state offices, Republicans succeed?
Well, we share the values. We share values with the Michigan voters, you know, and that's evidenced by the fact, like you said earlier, President Obama won this state by 9 points without, you know, hardly, you know, being outspent probably 2-3-1, hardly, you know, never coming here during the campaign. And this was Romney's home state. So it's evidenced by the fact Senator Stabenow winning this state by 20 points. So where is that disconnect, right? Where is that disconnect in what we're seeing in the federal offices and federal ballots? In the state races, I believe that disconnect is we've got to do a better job of messaging to voters. We've got to do a better job of bringing in the tools, and it's a mechanical one. In part, we've got to start earlier. You know, these federal campaigns start very early, and they bring to bear tools that we saw work with President Obama. They bring to bear very sophisticated political tools. We've got to bring those same tools here to our state-run campaign so that we can start competing and winning.
So it sounds like the short answer to that question is that these campaigns for federal offices are not run out of the state party?
Well, they're just better run. Let's just say that. You know, when you look at President Obama's campaign, you know, he did a phenomenal job of taking supporters and turning them into volunteers and turning them into contributors and turning them into fundraisers, and he did that because, you know, he brought the tools to bear that to make it easy, to make it meaningful. And when we have as much support as we have in Michigan for the issues that we care about, the values that we share, you know, shame on us for not working with voters and our constituency groups and moving them forward all in the same direction to fight for the values that we all share.
You know, now that you've actually had the keys to, you know, Hart Kennedy House in downtown Lansing for a full day now and had a chance to sort of look things over, have there been any surprises in your first 24 hours on the job?
Not at all. You know, not at all. You know, the fight that we had was a meaningful, you know, it was one that I think was meaningful for our party. It's one that we should have, and it's about the direction of 2014. How do we go about the business of winning? You know, versus, you know, this was not an ideological split in our party. This was just how do we go about the business of winning? And it was a spirited campaign, but in the end we came together, and now we're going about that. And I've been welcomed by the other side, if you will, and I'm going to welcome them.
The UAW and the MEA split, though, leading into the convention. Can they get along now moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't think there was any other, you know, the split, if you will, was just, you know, one side was with one candidate and the other was with me. And this is not, again, this was not an ideological split. You know, President Cook of the MEA is on the record saying that he would be happy with whoever, you know, ultimately came out of this process. And I'm going to take him his word. And I've worked, you know, extensively with the MEA, and I don't foresee, and nor have I had any thus far, any problems. We're setting about the business of winning right now.
Is there a role for Mark Brewer going forward?
Absolutely. You know, we've
what
got
is
a,
it?
We've got. That's a little bit more for him to determine than it is for me. I you know, Mark brings a lot of strength to our party, and he's been a terrific asset. And you know, coming off this campaign, it's been less than almost, you know, a day and a half now. He needs to I think take a break and come back and figure out where he wants to play that role. And I believe you're gonna have a party that's welcoming to that.
Lon Johnson is the new chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Thank you for joining us on Current State this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nice talking with you. We want to move on to cover the Republican convention this weekend too. Now Jake Neer is here with us from the Michigan Public Radio Network. Going into the weekend, the Democrats were getting all of the attention because of this Johnson-Brewer face-off. Not much was being said about a leadership challenge at the Republican convention, but there was one. In fact, a pretty close race as Todd Corser came within 4 percentage points of claiming the chairmanship of the party. What went on there?
Well, first of all, hi, Scott.
Good to have you
with us.
Very
glad to be here. Yeah, I mean, Todd Corser was a candidate that was favored by many self-professed Tea Partiers in the Republican Party. And you know, if there were any thoughts going into this convention that the Tea Party presence in the state GOP was waning, you know, you can forget that. Basically, the enthusiasm was palpable in the room. You could feel it. I mean, you know, he had people as Bobby Shostak was getting nominated for the chair position. People were marching around the room, you know, with Todd Corser signs, just very vocal. Yeah, he came within 4 percentage points, 52% to 48% of, you know, replacing Shostak as chair. And I think that that says quite a bit, you know, about the I think that the Tea Party made a very, you know, a big statement saying, you know, we're still here and we're, you know, the party has to recognize us.
You talked with Todd Corser about his reasons for this challenge and what his vision was for the party. What sorts of things did he have to say?
Well, he basically said that, you know, of course, afterward, he said that, you know, this is a conversation and the party needs to come back together. But he's going to do everything that he can to keep that conversation going.
I would follow, you know, Andrew Breitbart, who said, you know, if you can't sell freedom, then you suck. And we need to do a better job at getting our message out and explaining freedom and liberty to people and conservatism. And I think the Democrats just do a much better job in so many areas. You know, when people want to analyze why the Democrats won last time, they say it was this or that or the other. I would say it was all those things, and they did them better than we did them.
So what sorts of things did Bobby Shostak have to say after posting a victory to hang on to his job?
The latter part of what I just said that Corser said was, of course, his message as well, that the Republican Party needs to, you know, if there's any hard feelings, they need to get past that and move forward. And basically the goal at this point is just to get the party infrastructure in place to be Democrats in 2014.
In any hotly contested race, you're going to have people from all sides, you know, speaking out. But at the end of the day, people together came forward and said, we want to beat the Democrats. We want to keep this conservative agenda of Snyder and Kelly moving forward. We want to fight for things that are important to our party and continue to message that home, you know, day in and day out so that people don't forget it. And we grow our party and we build our party through those efforts. And as a result, I think that we have unified. We've unified in a big way. And we've unified in a way that I think will happily sail us right to 14 with victory.
So do you think this close result changes his approach moving forward?
I think that the most important aspect of the chair position is just getting results. You know, there were some people coming up to reporters afterwards saying, well, this certainly isn't a mandate. And in the chair position, it seems like the mandate is just at the end of the day to win elections.
And raise money and do the mechanical things that are necessary. What you just heard there was a the winner, you know, doing that awkward kabuki dance of, you know, yeah, we had a big spirited fight, but it was in the family, but everything's fine. There's no hard feelings. I mean, you know, Lon Johnson had to do the same thing in Detroit this weekend. As a matter of fact, you know, once something like this is over, your first job isn't to, you know, you sweep the floors or start raising money or do any of those other things. It's you pick up the phone and you start making phone calls to your adversaries to start binding the wounds and healing and hoping that that happens as quickly as possible. You know, but what we saw in Lansing this weekend was just a continuation of really the same thing we've seen for the past couple of years, that if you like if you want a great unpredictable political show, go to a Michigan Democratic or a Michigan Republican Party convention, because they're just the Wild West. You don't know what's going to happen. A couple years ago, remember, you know, the Tea Party almost denied Rick Snyder his choice for nominee of lieutenant governor. And like Jake said, they're just showing that they're not going away.
There's no unity, real unity, until we move forward in either party. Is there something to that? Nobody's got a claim on unity now.
Something, and maybe Rick can enlighten me a little bit here, since you've been around a little bit longer. But it seems to me that in the case of the Republican Party, something that I felt while I was there at the convention this weekend is this dynamic. They're getting used to it. It's something that's been there. They know, you know, it's not the first party convention that the Tea Party's made a big statement. And especially with Bobby Shostak getting back into the chair position, he's has experience with bringing the party back together.
Well, you know, this is a problem that any party faces, that a political party is a coalition of people of often disparate beliefs who've found enough common cause to come together. And it was sort of put to me this way, that there's always this tension between coalition and purity. You know, people who want to do this. And so to win, what you've got to do is go in the intra-party fight and fight as hard as you can for the person that you think is the best person. And then you go, and then if you lose that fight, you still have to go in November and fight every bit as hard for the person you think is the least worst.
Mm. I want to talk a little bit about other things that were discussed at the conventions. I know that at the Republican convention, there was a resolution supporting right-to-work legislation and also to no longer have a winner-take-all system for electoral college votes, right?
That's correct, and I think that that took up, especially the electoral college vote, was really the, if there was any policy discussion, that was the big one, and it just both of them overwhelmingly passed. Of course, right to work, very popular amongst Republicans, but you know, with the electoral college issue, this is something that Republicans didn't. They weren't won over by this last year when it came up the first time, or at least, you know, it came up last time, I should say.
Funny how losing can change your mind.
Exactly.
Anything else aside from the chairmanship at the Democratic convention that we can briefly touch on?
You know what? I mean, that was the big show. And, you know, now what it is, it's, you know, what they're doing now going forward is, it's a little ironic, but now Democrats have to reach out to a lot of people who maybe are sympathizers but don't have a lot of ownership over the Democratic Party. You know, they've got to increase African-American turnout if they're going to change the results of elections at the state level, embrace LGBT, stuff like that. That's what they're doing so that the unions are less dominant.
All right. Thank you very much. Rick Pluta, Jake Neer of the Michigan Public Radio Network, and earlier in the segment, Lon Johnson, the new chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Thanks for joining us on Current State.
Thanks, Scott.